Welcome to Benefits Update. This is Natalie Choate. This year in 2009, we have a unique situation. Nobody has to take any minimum required distributions out of their retirement plan. So this is a good time to talk about when is it a good idea to take money out of your retirement plan, even if you don't have to. I'll discuss four reasons why a client should consider taking distributions that are not required. And those are lower income taxes, lower estate taxes, diversification of risk, and investment opportunities. But first, let's consider what clients we're going to be having this discussion with. On a sliding scale, we're more likely to talk about these kinds of distributions with a client who is wealthier and older and who has substantial dollars in their retirement plan. We're less likely to have it with a client who's younger and/or still striving to accumulate enough money to retire. Let's start with the first reason, which is lowering income taxes. The golden rule of retirement plans is usually defer, defer, defer. Deferring income taxes as long as possible means that you never take more than the minimum required distribution. But deferring income taxes on your retirement benefits assumes that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket later on, or at least not in a higher bracket. What if you're in an especially low tax bracket right now? With an older, wealthier taxpayer who has too much money in his retirement plan, you should always be on the lookout for cheap ways to get the money out of the plan. Examples of circumstances that could produce a temporary low tax bracket would be the alternative minimum tax, or a business net operating loss, a large charitable deduction. Here's an example. Larry is 65 years old. He's very wealthy and very high income. He has a $10 million IRA. That's a huge future income tax bill waiting to happen. Now, Larry's always in the top income tax bracket, so let's assume that's 35% as of right now. But at the end of the year, he discovers that this year he's actually subject to the alternative minimum tax instead of the regular income tax. That means his real marginal tax bracket this year is the AMT rate, which is only 28%, instead of his usual 35%. In December, he pulls out $1 million from the IRA, all of which is going to be taxed at the AMT rate of 28%. That saves him 7%, or $70,000, compared with his usual bracket of 35%. The advantage of doing this kind of planning near the end of the year is you have 60 days to keep working on your calculations and make sure you're right. If he changes his mind or discovers he made a mistake, he does have 60 days to roll the money back into the plan and basically cancel the distribution. But even if your tax rate applicable today is the top rate of 35%, there are some clients who think that's a bargain compared to what their future income tax rate may be if Congress has to raise taxes to finance government spending. So some people will take out extra money today because they fear tax rates are going up. And another variation on the pay lower taxes today theme is the person who's entitled to a special income tax deal. The best known one of these is the special treatment for distributions of net unrealized appreciation in employer securities. So if you have a client who's an employee, he's retiring, he receives a lump sum distribution that includes appreciated employer stock. That built-in appreciation in the stock can qualify for a deferred tax at capital gains rates if he doesn't roll it over, instead of the usual immediate tax rate of 35% the rest of us have to pay, and also that would apply, if he does roll it over, that would apply to future distributions from the IRA. Clearly, anybody who has appreciated employer stock as part of their retirement plan should evaluate taking a lump sum distribution at retirement as a better deal, possibly, than rolling over their distribution to the IRA for future deferral. But even if your income tax bracket is high now, and it's always going to be high, there can still be a tax reason to withdraw money before you have to. namely to save estate taxes. Consider Mo. He's age 70. His only assets are two huge residences, a boat, a substantial pension, and a $10 million IRA. He would like to make $13,000 annual gifts to each of his five children and 10 grandchildren to reduce his future estate taxes. But he doesn't have any money to make gifts with, except in the IRA. By withdrawing $300,000 now from the overfunded IRA, he'd have to pay about $100,000 in income taxes, but he'd have the $200,000 left over to make those annual gifts, and the withdrawal and gifts would reduce his future estate tax bill by about $135,000. Better yet, he could use those annual gifts to fund the purchase of a life insurance policy inside an irrevocable trust to help the family pay those future estate taxes on that IRA. But even if there's no estate tax savings involved at all, either income taxes or estate taxes, a client might still want to consider taking money out of a retirement plan if his assets are disproportionately in retirement plans. He's overweighted in retirement plans. The reason is that money that's inside a retirement plan is much more vulnerable to the ever-changing government policies than outside money. So it makes sense that to balance your risk and diversify, you shouldn't have all your eggs in the retirement plan basket. Here are some of the examples from the past of how the federal government changed the rules on retirement plans. In the early 1980s, they repealed the federal estate tax exclusion that had formerly applied to retirement benefits. And they also, in the early 80s, added a spousal right in workers' retirement plans. So every employee in America woke up one morning and found that their husband or wife now had rights in their pension plan. In 1986, remember, the government put on a special 15% extra excise tax on so-called excess retirement plan money. That one was later repealed. But who knows what the future holds by way of government policies? Not to be too scary here, but in 2008, the House of Representatives listened respectfully to a professor who has suggested that the 401k IRA model has failed, so all private retirement plans should be taken over by the federal government in exchange for an IOU. Let's look at some examples of clients diversifying because they're overfunded in retirement plans and taking distributions. Curly was 45 years old when his IRA investment hit it big, leaving him with a $10 million IRA and no outside assets. Just to diversify and balance his investment portfolio, he started taking a series of substantially equal periodic payments from the IRA to gradually transfer about half the IRA to outside investments, just for balance and diversification. Another one is Louise. She's 84. She has a $3 million IRA that she has no need for. Her living expenses are funded by her outside assets, and she's planning to leave the IRA to charity on her death anyway. In 2009, she can take advantage of the charitable IRA rollover to move $100,000 of the IRA to the charity now, tax-free. My last reason for taking retirement plan distributions before you have to has to do with investment opportunities. George is age 70. He has a $5 million IRA. One asset inside the IRA is an apartment building that's worth about $800,000. Very soon, George is going to have to start taking minimum required distributions. When that day comes, the apartment building is going to be a big headache inside the IRA because somebody's going to have to value it each and every year for purposes of computing required distributions. George decides just to take the entire building out of the IRA in one distribution in his first year of required distributions. Even though that will be a larger distribution than he's required to take, it gets the valuation headache over with in 1 year. Besides, going forward, having the building outside the IRA will be a lot more convenient, and he can take income tax depreciation deductions on it and or place it in a family limited partnership to share ownership with his children, which he can't possibly do while the building's in an IRA. And if he still owns it at death, it will get a stepped-up basis if he holds it outside the IRA, which it cannot do if it's still inside the IRA. Here's another one. Mary Ann. She's 61 years old, and she's considering investing in a startup business. She has money to do that inside her retirement plan. Now, with plenty of complications, extra expenses, and risk of IRS challenges, it might be possible for her to actually get that startup business financed inside the retirement plan itself. It's not impossible. But by taking a distribution and paying the tax on it now, okay, she'll have some extra taxes, but she can make the investment outside the plan, and in the long run, operating that business outside the plan is going to be a much more simple and a much more profitable way to do it, despite the short-term cost. Well, it's usually very tough to persuade a client to take money out of their retirement plan before they're required to do so. It always seems easier to just defer the taxes, defer the decision, defer the distribution. Smart clients and smart advisors see the value of using non-required distributions to reduce future income taxes and future estate taxes, balance their risk profile, and simplify or expand their investment and estate planning opportunities. For Morningstar Advisor, this is Natalie Choate.